Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Canny Crystals, the podcast. I hope that you're all well. As you know by now, my name is Mart. I am your host, and this week I am joined by a very special guest. So I first locked eyes on Victoria at an event just over a year ago now, and she's just one of those mesmerizing people that you could sit and listen to all day long. And in fact, the first time I did exactly that, I sat beside her, not having introduced myself, eavesdropping into the conversation without even introducing myself. So Victoria is an African oracle as well as a pranic healer. She is a keen cook, and she describes herself as being able to bring a blend of flavor to your life and business, helping you to experience a more seamless life with enhanced relationships. So Victoria believes a magical life awaits when you lean into the fact that you are human first. So please give a very warm welcome to Victoria Dio. Victoria, how are you?
Hi, Matt. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. I'll pay you later for that beautiful introduction.
Oh, bless you. Well, it's absolutely lovely to have you here, Victoria. So would you like to just introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell us a bit about your spiritual journey and how you came to be where you are today.
Oh, God, how long have you got? So first and foremost, I just want to explain what an African oracle is, because I'm sure there's people going, what on earth is that? So an African oracle is pretty much an intuit and a seer. So someone who can see beyond the obvious and also uses her intuition pretty much for most things in her life, about 90-odd%. And yes, I was anointed underneath the mountains of Africa and given that title. So I hold it very dearly.
So what does it mean to be an African oracle in the context of your work, Victoria?
It means that I have a lot of work to do. And yeah, that's what it means. It means I've got a lot of work to do. It means that there's a lot of people to help, a lot of people who are unfulfilled, to connect them to their intuition, but most importantly, embody them to their intuition and also get them to tune into their purpose and embody their purpose as well. A lot of the time, I get a lot of people who say to me, oh, you know, yes, I use my intuition, but then you look at elements of their life and you know they're not using their intuition. Yeah. They may be using like a percentage of it, and they may be tapping into it to a certain point. However, they're not embodying it. And when you embody your intuition, you get a whole different experience. Your life is more seamless. You create more emotional, emotionally wealth relationships. You connect more to your spiritual side more, or even your financial wealth, you know, speaks completely from a different language compared to what you're seeing right now. So using your intuition has different levels, I believe. And the same with you know, with your purpose. A lot of people say, oh, well, I know my purpose, but they're not embodying it. So they may be touching like just a fraction rather than delving in. And listen, it's not your fault if you're not tapping into your purpose properly. It's normally because you're scared, because your purpose is not comfortable. So, you know, you talked to me about my journey. You asked me about my journey. It was tough, you know, because I'm one of the few people that loved my job. I loved my job. I used to manage very high profile portfolios and programs. So things like the Olympics 2012, the red routes around that I managed, that MP's expenses, the IT infrastructure for that I managed. So I managed some really high profile pieces of work and I was being paid a lot of money. To give you some context, my first job out of university was around 20,000. And within 9 months, I started earning six figures.
Wow.
So I had a very rapid trajectory into corporate life, money, luxury lifestyles, the lot. I had all of that. And whilst I loved what I did, and I loved being in charge. I always wanted to be in charge. That's another thing. I always wanted to be in charge. I knew I had to be the boss. So I, you know, and I didn't have to work hard for that. It just came. And then one day everything stopped. Everything stopped. And I realized that something was missing. Something was missing and I couldn't put my finger on it. I had the money. I had the status. So I had the success. I had the status. I even had what I thought were friends. I had friends and I traveled around the world. I had luxury and yet I felt something was missing. And part of me felt guilty for feeling that because I knew there were people who probably would never earn the money that I was earning and wanted more. I knew that there were people who would love to have traveled as much as I was traveling and couldn't for various reasons. And there's me thinking, oh my God, something's missing. I felt guilty. I felt sick. Part of me thought, does this mean I need to retrain in something? So my biggest fear was having to retrain in something else. I was in my 40s at the time. I think early 40s or even late 30s. And I was thinking, maybe it has something to do with what I'm doing wrong. And it scared the hell out of me. Now, at the time, it was when mental health became very sexy to talk about. So everybody was talking about mental health on Loose Women, on the news. People were being interviewed. So people were feeling more comfortable about talking about mental health. So I assumed that I may be depressed. And I went to see a friend who is a Pilates teacher. And I said, I think I'm depressed, but I'm not sure how to maneuver this. And she looked at me and she went, you're not depressed, but there's someone you need to go and see. And she introduced me to someone who now I know is like an intuitive coach. And what transpired from that session was that I had a gift beyond what I imagined.
Yeah.
And that I could see, I could heal, I could attract people. So the same energy that you say you saw when you met me, you're not the first person to say that, right? Like people just come towards me and stuff and it's like, oh my God, I need to talk to you. And they don't know why.
Yeah.
And that had been happening without me even noticing. So to give you an example, this guy said to me, when you walk down the street, do people follow you? And I went, yeah. And he was like, when you walk down the street, do people sometimes just come and hug you? I went, yeah. I was like, do you not think that's weird? I was like, I've never thought of it, because I was in my head.
Yeah.
My head was very logical and stuff. So this stuff happened and you don't pay attention to it, right? You just keep on going. And then he said, you have a gift. And I didn't know what that gift meant. And he tried to explain it. But when you have a job, when you're financially free, when you think you're happy, you don't go searching for anything else. You stay in the comfort zone that you want to be in, which is the biggest mistake you can make. And I ignored this guy. And I remember him saying, you can't switch it off. And my response was, watch me. And I went back into corporate, and I kept on working and kept on getting these incredible opportunities, getting paid a lot of money. And then one day, the phone stopped ringing. I used to be a contractor, and I would get headhunted for most of the gigs that I did. All of a sudden, the phone stopped ringing, and people weren't offering me contracts anymore. And initially, I thought, well, I'm taking a break from the last contract. And then 6 months turned into 9 months, turned into a year, turned into a year and a half, turned into 2 years. And by this time, the money was running out. And I was scared. And I'd cut back a lot. Then it was like, oh my God, what about my status? So all of a sudden, I wasn't Vic, the exec anymore. I was just Vic. So that mattered to me at the time. I sold my car because the money I was going to make from the car was at least going to keep me going for a while. I bought a brand new Q7, which I absolutely adored. And I'd had it for like 4 years. And then I sold it. I had to sell it. And I was heartbroken. I actually thought that this car defined my success. Like when somebody said to me, oh, well, what have you done in your life? I'd look at that car and I'd go, that.
Yeah.
That to me was everything. My home, like, you know, it meant a lot to me. And life really went downhill. I became a lodger. I was seconds away from homelessness. Nobody, like, it was almost like I disappeared from my life. So have you watched the film It's a Good Life? It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I've seen that. With, yeah.
Right. So you remember where they take him out of his life and he has to watch the world without. That's how I felt. Like, literally, I stopped existing. And it's the scariest thing you can possibly imagine. And to this day, I believe that God had to take me away from my life to show me how important my journey was, but for also for me to accept my purpose.
Yeah.
And weird things started to happen. I got approached by there's a lady who runs Psychic Sisters in Selfridges.
Yeah.
And the lady who runs Psychic Sisters in Selfridges, Jane Wallace, an incredible psychic, she saw me and straight away knew that I had a gift. And she said to me, you've got that gift. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. And she literally started to tell me the gift to the point where she hired me for a while.
Wow.
And she was like, yeah, she took me in. And so the reason why she hired me was I didn't know anything. So she was like, you've got a gift. And I was like, I don't know what gift you mean. And then she started to, she asked me to come back one day and she put me into a room and she would bring her clients in who needed like really intensive intuitive consultations. And they put me in a room and all she'd say to me was, speak to them, tell them what you know about them. And I would just start talking and these people start shaking and going, oh my God, how do you know? So you've got all these like really wealthy people literally losing it in this really well-known shop. And they'd leave and go, oh my God, she's amazing. And Jane kept on sending people. And after she tried a few people, she was like, okay, you should come here and sort of like, you know, do some work. And at the time I was broke. Mm. So it wasn't even that I wanted to do it. I was like, if this woman's prepared to pay me, I'll take it. So I went there and I started to, now what I know is learn my craft. Then one day Jane said to me, do you know why you do all this stuff? And I was like, no. She went, okay, you need to go away and learn. You need to go and learn your craft. And I was like, nobody's ever taught me anything. So, you know, like people go on crystal courses, yeah, or intuitive courses. Yeah. I'd never been on any of these things. So she's saying to me, go and learn. None of that made sense at all. So I just left. And funnily enough, as I left, there was somebody who rang me and said, I want to teach you about crystals. So I got to learn about crystals and the energy of crystals and everything else. And whilst that was interesting and stuff, I was like, yeah, okay. So we've learned about crystals. And by the time I got fed up of this person, there was somebody else waiting for me who then offered to be my mentor. And she owned like a spiritual center. And I remember the first time I went to the first ever session, she gave an exercise, and it was loads of paint, scribble on a paper plate, and then you exchange it with someone and you read the other person's plate. And she said to me, "Have you done this before?" I was like, "No." So she pairs me with an elderly guy in the group, and she says, "Well, Phil will look after you." And I'm like, "Okay." So Phil and I swap plates, and I start to read Phil's plate. And Phil starts shaking. And I can see all sorts in this plate. I can see Phil's mum. I can see Phil as he's growing up. I can see how Phil's relationship with his brother is, and so much more. And this woman who owns this spiritual center just kept on staring at me. And she said, "You should have come here ages ago." I was like, "Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, none of this makes sense to me." And that's how I grew. That's my journey. It grew and grew. But I think the less money I had, and because I had no work, I had no other option but to think about it and to understand more about what was happening around me. The fact that when I asked for things, I would pray for things and they just happen. So there was a point when I thought I was going to be homeless because I needed to leave from where I was lodging. And I prayed one night and I said to God, I said, "Listen, I need to be out of this home on the 12th of October. They want me out on the 5th of November, but if you can get me out on the 12th of October, then I won't feel as if I'm, you know, under pressure to leave at the last minute." I said, "But if you could give me my dream home, that would be great." Within 12 hours, somebody offered me a £3 million home to move into.
Wow.
Yeah. And I talk a lot about receiving in my work. I didn't want the home, not because I didn't want the £3 million home, but I was scared. I was like, "Hang on, I've just asked for something and here it is, it's arrived. What's the catch?" You know, so I kept on looking for homes and nothing was happening. And in the end, the owner called me and said, "Do you want the keys to this home or not?" And I moved out, moved into that home. I stayed there for a year and a half, but I moved in on the 12th of October without even realizing it. The same date that I'd asked. So receiving is huge, was huge and is huge in our lives. But it was also really huge in me, in my journey, because I never used to ask for anything.
Yeah,
I was very much, "I'll sort it out. I'll find a way." I used to be called the just in case girl because I would load my car with everything possible. Like if you needed a needle, thread, alcohol, whatever you needed, I had it in my car. Like there was no need to go to a shop because my biggest fear was experiencing lack. My biggest fear was having to ask somebody else for help. When I lost everything, I learned that I had to ask for favors and that I had to accept what people were offering me, you know, obviously on my terms. But when somebody said, "Vic, I'm offering you a £3 million house," I learned not to turn my nose up at it. I turned not to be embarrassed and go, "Do you know what? Thank you so much. And I'm so grateful for what you've given me."
Yeah.
And when I lived in that home, I got given stability that I hadn't had in a long time. I hadn't had stability in about 2 years. I started to build my life back up. And then one day I got a call from Tony Robbins' company. Now, my relationship with Tony Robbins is that before this journey even started, I had gone on his UPW event, Unleash the Power Within. And I'm that person that if I like something, I'll buy everything.
Yeah.
So I went to UPW, loved it that much that I bought all his courses. And whilst I bought all his courses, because I'd gone through a really dry season, so to speak, I couldn't even afford to book a hotel or a flight to attend the other events. But the most bizarre thing would happen. I would get Tony's people call me and say, "Vic, don't worry about it. You're going to be all right." And I'd be like, "How can you say that? Like, I don't even know how I'm going to survive today, let alone you know, get to the point where you think I'm going to be okay attending events. But they must have known something I didn't know, because I did start making money. I did get a contract that allowed me to still grow my skills. And then one day I just got a call and they said, Vic, we have suggested that you go to these three events within Tony. We'll do a refund for what you don't use. They never do refunds. Mm. And they will only keep your ticket, I believe, for about 18 months. They kept mine for 3 years.
Jeez.
And yes, yes. And one of those events was Life and Wealth Mastery. And normally, Life and Wealth Mastery takes place in Fiji. So it costs you about 10 grand just to get there before you even pay for the event. But they said, oh, we're doing one in Tenerife, which was nothing to fly to. So got to Tenerife, attended this event. And whilst I was there, by this time I'd been healing people. People had been ringing me from America, from Canada, and I would sit with them like this and I would do healings and they'd get better. So news was getting out that I was doing this work. I was very open to my family about what I was doing. And one day my sister said, there's a woman in Africa who does the kind of work you do. And as soon as she said it, my life completely changed. Because straight away I was like, that woman is my oracle. I need to go and find her. But financially, I didn't know how it was going to happen. So, and this was all happening whilst I was in Tenerife. So I'm attending the event. I'm having so much fun. And Life and Wealth Mastery, it's almost like a mini retreat. It's 4 days of juicing, colonics, dancing, meditation. It's amazing. And one night we're doing what's called a trance dance, which is like a meditative dance. And I see this woman and I just knew, and I could feel my heart expanding. Like literally my heart was expanding. I was like, what on earth's going on? And I was like, I need to talk to this woman. But she had her eyes closed and she was just flowing. And I was like, I need to talk to this woman. And all I want to do is poke her. I want to poke her. And go, hey, we need to talk. But I didn't. But about 8 hours later or so, around 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm climbing these stairs in this very posh hotel that Tony reserves for his clients when they stay. Beautiful hotel. I'm climbing up these stairs and I can see the woman that I want to see. And she's at the top of the stairs and she sat opposite a man. And if I climbed up those stairs, there's no way you can turn left or right without acknowledging this couple.
Yeah.
So I climbed the stairs. And I say to her, hi, my name's Victoria. I really feel like I need to talk to you. And the man says, you need to sit down. Tell me your story. So I give him my story. And he says to me, he starts to move his hands. And I'm like, what's he doing? And he's bringing his hands closer and closer. And I'm like, what's it? And the woman's, she's just sat there and she's smiling. And she says, he's scanning. It means nothing to me. At all. I just about understood what chakras meant at the time. And I was like, I don't know what that he means. And he turns around to me and he says, you need to go to Africa now. Okay. Well, for one, I'm in Tenerife. Two. Well, I'm just being honest. Matt. So he's like, you know, I'm like, I'm in Tenerife. Two, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, but thanks. And he kept insisting, you need to go. And I was like, I will go when I sort myself out. And he goes, no, you really need to go.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this dude is not listening to me. And I don't know how I'm going to, what's the word? I don't know how to push back to this guy without being offensive.
Yeah.
Because all I want to say to him is that, dude, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? Anyway. He then turns round and he says to me, give us your details. We're going to book the flights for you. I'd never met this guy before in my life. He literally just went, give my wife your details. We're going to book the flight for you. And that was it.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. And then I started freaking out because I was like, okay, receive. I was like, okay, thank you. But I can't go now. Like, I need to be in the UK for a month before I can travel because I've got commitments there. He was like, first week of October, no arguments. You have to be on that plane. And I flew out to Africa. And as soon as I got to Africa, went to this woman's house. And I just knew everything that had been happening in my life for about 8 years prior to that made sense. Me and this woman, we don't even speak the same language, but she understood what I was saying. We were finishing each other's sentences. Complete resonance. There was a tree that I saw, the very first tree that I saw, and I'd been seeing that in my meditations for years. Like, everything just made sense. And I just went to say hello. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to say hello. But I remember when she asked me, she said, tell me your story. And I'd been asked a lot of that recently around that time. And with her, I just sobbed. And I remember my mum saying to me, when your dad died, you didn't cry. What on earth is going with you? And I just couldn't stop sobbing. And that's when I realized how lonely your purpose can be.
Yeah.
How lonely it is to fulfill that purpose, because nobody will ever understand it like you do. Nobody will ever be able to visualize what you have for your vision like you do. Nobody will go through the levels of uncertainty, the lack of clarity like you do. And all that sobbing wasn't sadness. It was just the release of so much emotion where I'd, you know, I'm one of those people that I'll just keep going. You know, even if it's not going well, I'll keep going, because I believe that once you, if you put one foot forward, you'll always get to another door. You keep on moving. And if one door closes, you find another door, keep moving. I'd kept on moving for so long, I hadn't stopped. And that's, those sobs were a manifestation of that.
Yeah.
And by day two, you know, I felt so at home. I was so relaxed. And I turned around to this woman and I said, so what am I doing here? And she looked at me as if I was stupid. And she said, we've been waiting for you. You're the next oracle. And then we went into the jungle and we spent 50 hours in the jungle doing a lot of sacred work and getting me ready for my journey. And part of me was so excited because I was like, oh, I found my home. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to live in this village and I'm going to heal people. And I've got the oracle here and life will be perfect. And on day five, she said, right, you need to go now. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, we're done. And I was like, but I don't want to leave. And she's like, you have to go. And I started crying again. And this time she walked off and she got one of her helpers. She goes, can you sort her out? And you saw her out. I was like, I don't want to leave this. She was like, no. She goes, your work isn't here. She goes, you need to go back there, which is England. You need to go back there and fulfill your purpose. Mm. There are people who need help there. Go back. She goes, you can come back and run a temporary clinic here, but you have to be over there. I was heartbroken. I was absolutely heartbroken. But I left. And as soon as I left, the doors kept on opening. You know, I got invited to an event in Kensington, literally as I was boarding the plane back from Cameroon. And when I attended that event, somebody saw me there who gifted me $150,000 ticket to go to Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny front seats, right? So front, yeah. And again, I didn't want to take it. I was like, I don't want to take it. And this voice kept on saying, you have to take it. You need to take it. And as soon as I took it, somebody gifted me an $8,000 hotel room, which was in the convention center where Tony was running the event. So I went with $200 to my name. and I was meant to stay there for 3 weeks. So the event was 6 days, but I was like, I need to stay there. I wanted to go see the shamans in New Mexico. I was like, I want to go see them. I want to spend time with them. I want to learn more. So I had all these things, but I had $200 to my name and I had no idea how I was going to make it work. But again, when you're in your purpose, the world works out for you. So at the airport, I was meeting a friend and she was meeting her friend, and her friend had bought me a first class train ticket that allowed for me to get not only a free ride from Miami to West Palm Beach, but also I was starving and I was fed all the way. So by the time I got to West Palm Beach, I was full. This is in Florida, by the way. I was full. I had no problems whatsoever. My hotel room was gorgeous. And somehow, you know, I got some snacks, but there was people feeding me. It was almost like people had been assigned by God to just serve me at the event. Like, literally, I wanted for nothing. I was being given huge connections. I was being connected to people. It was insane. And at the end of the event, I got introduced to one of Tony's business partners. And also, she's quite a well-known celebrity in the field. And when we met, she asked for us to exchange numbers. And then one day she was meant to be doing some press. And she messaged me, she goes, I can't speak. You need to heal me. And without even speaking to her, I did some healing. She got better, ran the whole, did all her her PR stuff. And then she invited me, I think prior to that, actually, she'd actually invited me to Hawaii to spend time with her there. So I went and we lived together for about 8 days and I did healing for her, healed her home, provide healing for everything that she was doing. I cooked as well. So the food was all healing and everything else. And then my name just started to go out and people just started to find out about me because obviously she saw my profile. We spent some beautiful time in the most healing grounds in Hawaii. It's just the most incredible space. There's literally no buildings. There's one building in this whole land, and the rest is a gazebo. It's like a 30, 40 foot gazebo. But there's this temple in this building. And it's so funny, I've forgotten about this until I'm speaking to you. But as I looked at this temple, when I did my meditations, I do like an alchemy meditation taught to me by one of my teachers. That was the temple that I'd seen for years before. So your life takes you around, and it was just the most seamless of journeys. And then people started buying me tickets to fly to Hawaii, fly to New Mexico. I went into the heart of, they call them pueblos in New Mexico, but it's where it's where the shamans live, and it's very sacred land. And I went there to visit, and when I got there, there was somebody waiting for me and had cooked for me. They didn't even know I was coming. It's just the most, the most bizarre of stories. And I got to speak to them and learn from them and see how they lived, but also understand their principles and their need to preserve nature and their need to preserve the healing aspects of God's land. It was just fascinating. I visited some drum makers whilst I was there. I got sang for, it's like a healing song that I still got somewhere on my phone. And it was just the most incredible experience. But by the time I came back to England, which was I came back in February, and then got flown back because somebody invited me to Tony Robbins' birthday party. So I attended his 60th birthday party. I know my life is quite interesting.
Yeah, but very.
By the time I'd done that, spent time in LA, been flown around to Shondaland. So if anybody knows Grey's Anatomy and all that and stuff, you know, hobnobbing next door to the Obamas and everything else. Like, it was just a crazy experience. And I came back straight into the pandemic. But it's interesting because life had started quietly. Then it was very rampant. And then the pandemic started. And that's when I started to create a business around this initiative to help people to really tap in and embody their intuition, to help people to really understand and follow their purpose, because I've been there. So anybody who sat there going, why is this? Why do I feel like there's something missing? Why do I feel like I've invested so heavily in my career and yet, you know, my personal life, my personal fulfillment isn't there? All of that I can help with because I've learned it firsthand what it's like to transmute yourself from literally complete and absolute ignorance to a heavily based intuitive life. I've just spoken for ages then, haven't I?
No, it's fine. Do you know what it is, Victoria? I'm absolutely fascinated every time you open your mouth. So honestly, I was going to ask so many questions and you pretty much answered like 75% of them, because I was planning to talk about Cameroon and things like that and what it means to be an African oracle. And you've just answered all of that so succinctly in one flowing answer. Thank you so much for sharing that story. I had no idea that that was your backstory. And I had no idea that you were, you know, kicking boots with Tony Robbins and things. So, yeah, that's so fascinating. You did mention, though, that obviously you heal people. And I know that when I've been speaking to you face to face, you were talking to me.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
About pranic healing and things like that. So, what does pranic healing involve? How does that work? And how is that different from, you know, Reiki and things like that? Because I can see all your certificates behind you. Oh. And I know that you are very qualified in it all. So come on, give us the spiel on that.
So pranic healing is pretty much using energy to heal, you know, your energy centers. Now, a lot of the time, a lot of healers use their own energy to heal, which is why a lot of the time they feel very depleted. They feel depleted, and they, so you know, like when people go, oh my god, I've had to deal with so much today, like people have just sucked my energy. That's
because, every day.
So that's because people don't understand the elements of spiritual hygiene. Now, what pranic healing does, and it was invented, so modern pranic healing was invented by my teacher Master Choi Kok Sui, who is an incredible human. He sadly left his body in 2007, but he has done so much for the world in making sure that everybody should be able to heal themselves. And he created the pranic healing, you know, world, and also has, so it has eight masters. There's eight masters in the world. Two of those actually flew me to Africa. I found out later that two of those were masters of pranic healing. And one of them is also Tony Robbins' healer, Master Co, who taught me, started to teach me about spiritual hygiene. But my teacher here in the UK, Les Flitcroft, is incredible. And he runs the Institute of Pranic Healing. What they do there is you get taught the basics of healing. Now, a lot of people think that it's very similar to Reiki. We say that pranic healing is like Reiki on speed. And a lot of people who have done Reiki go and do pranic healing and go, oh my God, like it's phenomenal. Because what Master Choi has done is he's invested heavily in helping you to understand that prana, which is energy. So we use energy from, you know, like the air and from the sun, and like you use the energy around you to heal, as opposed to using your energy to do that. That's why people get very depleted. But what pranic healing has really done for me, it has given me a lot of clarity. A lot of clarity. The reason why I ended up doing pranic healing was because I was interviewing Master Ko, Tony Robbins' healer, in my podcast. And I think it was after the interview, I said to him, I've just been anointed and I don't know what to do with the oracle. I don't know what to do with her. Do I need insurance? Do I need this? And he said to me, go and see Les. Now, Les has been mentioned several times in my life. The couple who bought my ticket for me to go to Africa, who are also masters of pranic healing, had said to me, when you get back to the UK, go and see Les. And I was like, who's Les? So eventually I went to see Les, and Masako said, go and do level one, get your insurance and set up your business. But what did happen was that when I went to do the level one and learned these incredible skills, everything Les was talking about, I'd heard before.
Yeah.
And three of the people he mentioned, I'd met and were sponsoring me in my journey. And it scared the hell out of me. I'm not going to lie. Like, I literally, I was like, I don't know what else to do. But Les is just the most incredible human. Everybody needs to meet Les, is all I'm going to say. But he's the most incredible human. He is so caring, so giving. He nurtures us so much. And it felt like a safe space to be. And that's how I ended up just staying and just studying as much as possible in that space. So it complements the work that I do. But like I say, it's given a lot of clarity around what I do. So, for example, I would heal somebody, but I never knew why I was healing someone. And I'll be honest and stuff, I wasn't even sure that my spiritual hygiene was up there, because nobody had ever taught me. But Master Choa is so strict around spiritual hygiene. Like, you literally have protocols for everything. Yeah. And you have the support as well. So there have been times when, you know, I remember when my mum had malaria. And I was like, I don't know what to do. There's a protocol for malaria. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these really complex protocols, and you know that you're getting supported. And at the end of the day, all you're doing is you're making sure that people feel better. But the most important thing for me around pranic healing is getting people to realize that everybody can heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And it stops you from giving your power away to people, you know? I think sometimes healers try and play God. And it's like, no, you're simply a vessel by which this energy goes through. You know, it's nothing to do with you. It's all about the vessel. So whilst my story is fascinating, at the end of the day, I am here to do God's work. And the day he decides that it stops, he will either take the gift away from me or I leave this world. It's that simple. And it's something that as healers, we need to acknowledge that it's not us, it's not our press. Yes, we market ourselves, but it's nothing to do with how amazing we are. Yes, we are amazing, but it is a gift from God that we've been given to be able to heal, and everybody has got that gift. You just need to practice it and intune it. And that's why I believe that teaching people how to use their intuition, because it's your second greatest gift from God. You've been given your gift, you've been given this intuition. However, society condition you, because if everybody used their intuition, we'd be too powerful. So we get conditioned to be scared, we get conditioned to worry, we get conditioned to give our power away. And as a result, guess what? We start using our heads. So we start using the flight or fright mode and stuff to be able to survive, you know, like, oh my God, we need to survive. Your power is already there. You've already got your power there. And when you tap into it, you can do incredible things.
I really believe that as well. And in a past episode, I was speaking to Joanna Hunter, and she was talking to me about, you know, how we've been so conditioned societally about, you know, like from the media and the press and even like parental kind of like conditioning and things like that. And it is weird because it does suppress what you actually have and that energy and that power. And I was saying to her, like, until 2019, I just felt I was powerless. And I felt that, you know, I was just marching along in debt. And this is how the world was. And this is how my life was. And this is how I was going to live it out. Because my parents had lived that exact same lifestyle. My grandparents had lived that exact same lifestyle. And it wasn't until I kind of put that to one side and started having that faith and that belief in, you know, I am powerful, I am energetic, I have everything inside of me that everyone else in the world has, so why not me? Do you know what I mean? And then things start rolling from there on, doesn't it? So in terms of your pranic healing as well, are there any kind of, you know, little tools or techniques that we could do on a daily basis to, you know, enhance our well-being or our health or anything like that? Or, you know, when you were saying about the protocol, is it all individual as to each ailment kind of thing? Or is there something that we can do right now in this moment to help ourselves feel better?
So the way I'm always cautious about talking about pranic healing in depth, because you get taught as a student as opposed to teaching it to others. One of the things that I know I've spoken about, and I know that pranic healing promotes as well, is forgiveness. You know, I remember my teacher saying to me once, and when I say my teacher, I'm talking about Les, he said, you know, you need to forgive.
Yeah.
I was like, well, there's no one I need to forgive, really. I'm not angry at anyone. And the fact of the matter is there's always someone to forgive. But also, forgiveness isn't for them. It's for you.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, I know someone in particular, and I'm sure there's several other people who's been through a really tough life. You know, there's been a lot of abuse there, a lot of trauma and everything else. And I said, forgiveness is huge. And they went, never. And I get it, because sometimes we're hurt so much that it's almost unthinkable to forgive, because people see forgiveness as in, I'm letting you go for what you did to me.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily the case. Forgiveness is so that you can release the hold that it has on you, so that you're no longer angry. And so that you can breathe again, and you can start to create a new reality for yourself. It's so funny. I was listening to someone yesterday as well, who, you know, they'd been in a bout of conflict with someone, and eventually they reached out and said, do you know what? I'm letting this go. Sometimes you need to let it go for other things to come into your life. Like, we find that, you know, energy doesn't lie. So, you know, if your cup is full of anger, the likelihood of joy coming into that cup is very unlikely. You need to empty the cup of anger, you know, at least some of it, and let some joy in. Otherwise, the joy won't know where to go.
Yeah.
So in pranic healing, we really do promote making sure that you definitely, you know, forgiveness is huge, and, you know, lean into that. That's one of the biggest tips that they do give.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's so true as well what you were saying there, because, like, I haven't spoken to my dad in 20 years, for example. And it was just a bit of a turbulent relationship, you know, like him and my mom separated when I was less than one. And we had, like, a wild relationship anyway. And it wasn't until, like, a couple of years ago, I was reading Emma Mumford's book called Hurt, Healing, Healed. And through that, it was, you know, working through the process and things like that. And I started looking into forgiveness work. And I started repeating this Ho'oponopono mantra. I don't know if you've heard of that. Thank you, I forgive you, I love you. And obviously, when you start working through that process, it is right. It's like, you are subconsciously giving, you know, 10% of your subconscious to this matter that you might not actively be thinking about, but it's always in there. And as soon as you declutter that and you make space, you're able to then put all of this goodness in this place instead. And it wasn't until I started working through that, my business flourished. once I'd started working through that. And it was because I'm thinking, well, mentally, subconsciously, I'm not thinking about that issue anymore. Like, I've put that to bed. It's in the past. You know what I mean? Like, I've forgiven, I've forgot, I've kind of moved on. I show great gratitude and, you know, like being appreciative and things like that for everything that happened. But I no longer need that in my life. And that isn't a section of my life anymore. And it does. Yeah. It's right. Abundance flows in the weirdest areas as soon as you declutter all that.
So one of the biggest, I'm so pleased that you said that, because one of the biggest most used sentences I use with my audience is, spend your energy wisely. Mm. Like, your energy is its own currency. Yeah. And if you're spending your energy being angry at somebody, consciously or not, when great opportunities come, you don't have the energy to receive those great opportunities.
Yeah.
Like, you literally can't. You find yourself that you're either depleted or you're creating more conflict or something. So you need to manage your energy, let go of what doesn't need to. And it's not saying that you're accepting what's been done to you. And it doesn't even mean that you need to be in touch with the person that's hurt you. You just need to let it go and go, do you know what? I wish you love. I wish you prosperity. I wish you health. And that's where it is. We just leave it there. Yeah. And then you're not thinking about it. And a lot of time people go, yeah, but I'm not thinking about anything. You don't need to. You don't need to, because when we get hurt, we get hurt. And it's almost, the example I've got is like having a sponge, and in that sponge and stuff, it's like you've got, you get given a plate of ink, you know, you get given a plate, different coloured ink. It doesn't matter what you do. If you put that sponge down, it will pick up bits of colours of that ink. Mm-hmm. Red, green, yellow, blue, the lot. Doesn't matter how much you wash that sponge, that ink, you're still going to get remnants of that ink into that sponge. We're like sponges, right? We're born, they say children are sponges, we're born like sponges. And guess what? A child starts to pick on its mum's beliefs and fears when it's in the womb, okay? It can feel it, it can sense it. So by the time it's born, the conditioning has already started. You know, from the nurse who pulls the baby out, it picks up on the nurse's fears and beliefs, to being passed around, you know, to being in a shopping mall. All those will contribute to who we become as adults. And it's our responsibility now to go, do you know what? We know better.
Yeah.
So how can we transmute the energies that don't serve us into energies that give us the life, prosperity and abundance that we strongly desire?
I really believe in that 100%. Something that really helped me as well, and it was quite a cathartic thing to do, was to write a letter. I had no intention of sending it whatsoever. Do you know what I mean? But it was just the process of getting everything out of here onto paper. And then I set a light to it, and it was one full moon, and I thought, I'm releasing this. I don't need this in my life. And off it went into the ether. Do you know what I mean? But that was really cathartic for me as well.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that, because forgiveness is a huge piece. It's like something that people should prioritize as well as the well-being, because it comes hand in hand with well-being. So if you could give, you know, one piece of advice to my listeners about embracing magic in their lives, what would that be, Victoria?
Trust your gut. Trust your intuition. All the answers you need are there. Now, you may need someone like myself to maybe facilitate that, but trust your gut. Stop giving your power away. I think a lot of the time we need that level of authority. We need to be liked. We need to be edified. And as a result, we get taken down one direction rather than the other. And here's the thing, even if trusting your gut means that it's a mistake, that's okay, because it means it's a mistake you need to learn. You know, it means that it's a mistake you need to learn. Like, sometimes you just have to go with it. I think we're too hell-bent on staying safe, not getting hurt, perfection. Just so you know, so if anybody who's out there who loves perfection, I feel your pain, because you spend more pain than not, you know, being in perfection, because perfection doesn't exist. Make mistakes. There's a guy, I can't remember his name, but one of the rules he set his kids was that I want you to come home every day and tell me one mistake you've made. I don't want to know about your successes because you're intelligent kids. You can tell me, because I want you to make mistakes. Come home every day and give me one mistake that you've made. And it made the children a lot more resilient. A lot of my clients come to me and say, I need more resilience. You're already resilient. Think of the life that you've already had. Think of the trauma. Think of the loss. Think of everything that you've been through, and then think of the joys. You are resilient. You don't need any more resilient. It's almost like looking at the grass at the neighbors and thinking it's greener. You've already got it. Tap into yourself, and that way you can make more powerful decisions about who you want to work with, who you want to learn from, how you want to progress with your life. But if you keep on giving your life away to others, they're going to keep on making those decisions for you, which will not always be the best for your for your mindset and for your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How can people find you then, Victoria? How can people work with you?
So I have just rebranded. I know. So I'm 4 weeks back from Africa. We haven't even spoken about that. I need to come back and do another. but I've just come back from Africa, and I came back and I went, I'm going to rebrand. So I've moved away from what used to be Manifestation Kitchen, but now to Victoria Dio. So instead of me giving you all these links, I'm just going to give you a free gift, and it is my most spoken about meditation. It's actually the first meditation I actually recorded and put out there, and it's a meditation on receiving. It has changed so many people's lives, and I just want to give it to you there. And then you can find me, because once you log in and you can access it, then you'll be in my world and we'll be able to have a chat, you know, and you can learn more about what I do.
Well, I'm even excited to listen to that, Victoria. So I will pop that link and all of Victoria's social links and a website and everything like that in the show notes for this episode. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Victoria. It's been absolutely lovely to have you. A pleasure as always.
Thank you. You're a sweetheart.
You're very welcome. And for everyone else listening, please do me a solid. Go and leave a rating or a review wherever you're listening to this episode, because it really does help the podcast grow, and it's totally free for you to do so as well. So I hope that you all have an amazing weekend, and I'll see you all next week. Thanks very much, guys. Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit YahooFinance.com, the number one financial destination, YahooFinance.com.